Let's go in-depth on Hawkeye sports with the Des Moines Register. It's time for Hawk Central on 1460 KXNO.
Happy Wednesday and Happy New Year, Hawkeye fans, and welcome into a special first week of 2023 edition of the Hawk Central Radio Show here on 106.3 KXNO. I'm your host, as always, Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register. Last time you heard from us was on our post-game YouTube show following the Iowa football team's dominant 21-0 shutout of Kentucky in the Music City Bowl on Saturday night. Much has happened since, including a new transfer portal addition at receiver, a few roster departures, as the chess pieces for 2023 start coming into place. I'll be joined by KXNO's Andrew Downs to discuss that and Patrick McCaffrey's indefinite departure from the men's basketball team. That was big news on Tuesday. Later in the show, usual sidekick Kennington Smith enjoys a few more days back home with mom and dad in Atlanta. But no fear. To kick things off tonight, I'm thrilled to welcome an A-list guest to Hawk Central. Iowa women's basketball megastar Caitlin Clark has been gracious enough to join us. Thanks a lot for doing this.
Thanks for having me on. I'm honored, as always.
Well, always have appreciated you. I noticed on the schedule you had no game until Saturday. That's we'll get to that game later. There are some memories associated with that game, I'm sure. And we do want to talk women's hoops as we go. But just kind of pigtailing off the Patrick McCaffrey news from yesterday. Nothing about him in particular, but I just kind of want to talk about pressure that you feel as a Division I athlete. And I'm sure the spotlight is on you. I know the spotlight is on you constantly. Yeah. How do you deal with daily pressures of being Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, I think, you know, relying on your teammates, I think, is the biggest one. You know, the only circle that matters is the circle that's in your locker room every single day. And I think when you come to understand that, you have a lot more peace in your life. It doesn't really matter what the outside world thinks of you. It doesn't matter what the AP poll is saying about your team. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, there's obviously ups and downs in a season. That's how it goes. You have great wins. You have some bad losses, but it's all about how you respond. So I think, you know, when you rely on your teammates in that regard, you know, there isn't that pressure. Obviously, you know, there's a target on our back. We were the Big Ten champs last year. Everybody wants to beat us. That's how it is. That's how it should be. But, you know, we understand it's a long season. It usually comes down to the last couple games in Big Ten play. So, you know, you can't get hung up on one win or one loss. That's just how it is.
Have you ever gotten like, so I can't imagine you getting hate because like, but have you ever experienced like some negativity on social media?
Yeah, I think honestly, like not too much hate, but I think there's always those negative things, you know, people, not everybody's going to love you. That's how it is. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But you know, honestly, I try not to read it. I try not to read the great. I don't try to read the bad. And I think that's how it should be. You should never read one side or the other. Obviously, you know, I think social media is a great place. I think it's also a bad place. You know, there's good and bad to it. So, you know, I just, you know, try to find balance in that. I'm not on it too much during basketball season because obviously I got a lot going on elsewhere. So I don't even really have the time to do that. But yeah, I think, you know, there's good things to it. There's bad things to it. That's just how it goes.
Yeah. You are averaging 27.1 points, 6.9 assists, 7.4 rebounds per game. Hawkeyes 11-4 overall. Mm-hmm. We talked about this in May. You wanted to lower your turnovers. Your turnovers are down. Mm-hmm. 3 percentage is up.
Yeah.
How would you assess kind of how your game, we'll get into the team here, but how would you assess how your game is as a junior at Iowa?
Yeah, I think I've played really well, and obviously the turnover number is really exciting. I think there's been a couple games where there's still been a few too many, but you know, you're going to have that as long as the average just stays below. I would really ideally like to be under 3, but I think, you know, with the ball in my hand so much, that might be a big ask. But I think overall as a team, our turnover numbers are down quite a bit, which is good for us. You know, those are just free possessions for the other team. But, you know, been shooting the 3 really well. Last couple games haven't finished around the rim ideally as I would have liked. But, you know, overall I've shot it pretty well over the course of the year so far. Free throw line hasn't been quite as good as last year. I was at 88%. But, you know, anything above, I would be like to be at 85 or above.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's like a long
82
year.
82 now, correct?
Yeah, yeah. And I shoot a lot of free throws, so, you know, there's a lot of time to get that up still.
Probably should have shot more the other day,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, probably. You know, I only shot 3, so that's kind of a rare occurrence for me. Right. I'm usually at the line about, you know, 8 times a game, I think it is. I think I lead the country in free throw attempts and free throws made. So, you know, I'm there quite a bit, so my free throw percentage better be good or else I need to stop getting fouled. But, yeah, overall, I think I've been playing well. You know, always room to improve, but feel like it's been solid overall so far.
Yeah, definitely. And that Illinois game was a weird one.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, foul out too often.
No.
We talked about it.
I've been in foul trouble the last two games, which is not like me at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, definitely need to work on not fouling there. And obviously, I think there was a couple offensive fouls. So those just kill you because you're not trying to foul at all.
Right.
That's a turnover for yourself. It's an offensive foul. So an offensive foul is probably one of the worst plays in basketball that you can make because it's just you give the other team the ball, you get a turnover, you get a foul.
Yeah.
It's just not good.
Right.
So, yeah, obviously, momentum. You know, staying out of foul trouble is a huge key for myself. So, one, I don't have to sit no matter when the foul is. And two, we're not in trouble at the end of the games because I need to be out there. So, yeah, kind of a rare occurrence for myself.
Yeah, I remember we talked about this in May. You wanted to be a little, try to work on your decorum with officials and stuff.
Yeah.
Has that improved, would you say?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's definitely improved. I think a lot of people around me would say the exact same things. I think, you know, there's been a couple games where I've been overly frustrated when things really haven't gone my way. So, you know, there's still like those moments that you have and everybody has those. But yeah, I think when things aren't going your way, you just got to lean on your teammates. That's how it is. You know, you're not going to get every call. Refs are human. You can't expect them to not make mistakes. That's just what Coach Bluder says all the time. Like, they're going to miss stuff.
True.
They're going to make bad calls.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. You make bad plays. but at the
end
of the day, when you're arguing with them, they're not going to turn around and change a call for you. That's just how it goes.
That's
so,
true.
You know, you got to move on, next play mentality. But obviously, you know, it's human nature. Everybody does it. So, but yeah, overall, I think it's been a lot better. I think it's allowed me to be a lot more focused on, you know, the next play and helping my mind be prepared, you know, to do whatever it needs to do.
She's a smart coach.
She is.
That's good wisdom. That's good wisdom.
I'll never be a coach. I'll tell you that. But I guess I might have a little knowledge up in my head. No,
don't
I don't think
so.
Coaching's for me. I think
Why
I might
that?
Be too competitive for that, honest. Like, I know coaches are competitive, but I'm really competitive. I think, like, I definitely want to work in sports, but not coaching. Like, maybe, like, front office of a professional team or something like that.
Yeah.
You're still around the game a lot, but you're not really the X's and O's, but you still get to, you know, see it all come together. Which would be really cool.
Yeah. Well, and people love seeing your fire. So
I would never.
It's kind of fun to watch you.
Absolutely. I'd never lose that. That's how I've always been. I think that's what at the same time makes me so great is because I have that, you know, competitive spirit, that fire. That's what gets me going. That gives me the drive to like want to win and do better and be better.
So obviously the women's team this year, 11, you know, things are going. You've had a lot of great moments. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure, you know, the Kansas State loss, Illinois loss. Not like your favorite things in the world. Those are good teams in tough environments. So I guess how would you assess kind of, I mean, to me on the outside, it's like, can this team, Clark and Sonato and everyone else, you know, together for the last time, can they get to a Final
Absolutely.
Four? That's kind of like in my head. So where are you guys at in terms of that goal?
Yeah.
In terms of what you think?
We feel like we're not where we will be yet. Certainly, I think, you know, we feel like there's so much room for us to improve still. And, you know, that's normal, especially, you know, we've only played, what, three conference games, whatever it is. I'm not sure.
Four.
Okay, yeah, so we're 3-1. But, yeah, obviously Illinois won. You would have loved to win. But that's a really, you know, it's going to be a really hard place for a lot of people to play. I don't think people understand. That team is basically a new team. The coach from Dayton was really good, comes over. Really turns that thing around right away. They get a guard transfer from NC State who's really, really good. They're going to cause, I think, a lot of problems in the Big Ten. But obviously the Kansas State one we would have loved to have back too. So you're looking at two games there. That's, you know, half your losses that you really could have, you think you could have won. And even UConn, we felt like we could have won that too.
Right.
I don't think NC State, we deserved to win. You know, our offense was great, but we played no defense, so I don't think we deserved to win the game. But UConn, like, I felt like all three of those, like, very beatable, winnable games for us. So I think it's finding that consistency for ourselves moving forward. And we know we're not there, but we definitely know we can be there.
Where do you feel the defense is for this team? And also for yourself, because that's another thing we talked about in May.
I think, you know, there's so many moments of it being so, so good. Like Iowa State, like we play tremendous defense. We win the game. And then we go to Illinois and we really struggle defensively. Granted, they had three guards that were very, very good. And they made some tough shots. That's how it goes. But you can't give up 90 points. And we know that. But I think for myself, it's improved. I think, you know, there's still times where I'm resting on defense because I think I need to conserve energy on the offensive end. But I think, you know, just being active, all of us just bringing more energy, knowing that we need that is the biggest thing. But yeah, I think we know we can be good. It's just finding consistency in that area every single time we step on the floor.
So just to update folks, entering Wednesday, Ohio State, top of the Big Ten at 4-0. Mm-hmm. There's five teams, including yourselves, at 3-1. So a long way to go in this Big Ten race. Mm-hmm. Like, what does it actually take? You've been through it. You've done it. What is it going to take for you guys to win the Big Ten game? I know it's not the ultimate goal. I mean, it's a big goal.
Yeah.
It helps your other goals.
Well, definitely, like, the single play games are very, very important. And we play Ohio State, who's going to be at the top of the conference, just one time at their place. So I think that's, a huge game for us, January 23rd at their place.
Okay, you know that.
Oh, I do. It's the day after my birthday. Come on. It's the only birthday present I want.
Are you 21 this year?
21, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, about time.
All right, sorry, go ahead.
But I think the biggest thing we know is, it really is a long Big Ten season. That's how it goes. I feel like last year, a lot of pieces had to fall in place for us to win it. And they did. Never know what's going to happen. There was a big upset by Northwestern to beat Michigan, and that's really what got us back into the race. And then we end up beating like four top 10 teams to finish it out and win it all. So it's not over till it's over. We certainly know that. And we know you're in for the long haul, and you can't get down about one loss. You just got to bounce back.
You're listening to Hawks Central from the Des Moines Register and KXNO. I am Chad Lystico talking Iowa basketball with superstar Caitlin Clark. All right, just one game this week, as we mentioned at the top of the show. Saturday, 3:30 p.m. on Fox. This big Fox.
Huge game.
Is a national TV game at Michigan. Those that are listening and watch women's basketball religiously know exactly what happened at Michigan last year.
Yeah.
Does that game going back there bring any meaning to you, especially since you beat them here?
Yeah.
Like when you were going nuts here.
Yeah, I think certainly, Michigan's going to want to beat us, especially, the way we played in that final game. We saw them last year to win the Big Ten regular season title. We go there last year. We had seven available players.
Right.
It was a very difficult task for us, and we get down quite a few points, and I kind of make a bunch of shots. So, hopefully, we feel like we're just as good as Michigan. We're right there with them. I think they're ranked one or two spots ahead of us in the poll right now. They play tremendous defense. That's the thing they really do is play great defense. They're going to long show on every ball screen, make it hard for me on ball screens. But it's not anything we haven't seen. And we know we can be successful versus their defense considering what we did last year. We put up 108 points in that game we played them. So, we're excited. I think it's a great challenge. And like you said, it's on Fox. It's the first Big Ten women's basketball game ever on Fox, which is huge.
Wow.
Really cool.
That's awesome.
Our goal is to go in there and win, and we believe we can. I think, if we execute our game plan like it should be, I think, it will fall in our favor.
So Caitlin's kind of downplaying it a little bit, but 25 fourth quarter points last year at Michigan, and 46, which is, I think, you're still career high, right?
I think it's my career high. I might have tied it once,
okay.
I think.
Okay.
Two 46-point games.
Yeah, there you go. Was that the craziest zone you've ever been in? I know you've been in a lot of zones in your life.
I think that was probably the craziest one I've been in. I think at one point I made a shot over three defenders. So sometimes there's just those days where you literally just can't miss. And I remember, I had just made, five threes in a row. And then, when I airballed that last one, everybody starts chanting airball at me. I'm like, come on, guys. Yeah. I just gave you a show. You can't do that. I started laughing, though. It was pretty funny. So that was good.
You've always been so good with the fans, and I remember photos after that game, even people wanting your autograph. Has that always been the case with you? I mean, is that something? I mean, it seems like my cousin was in town right here, and she's like, they were here for the game, and she was like, oh, I want to go meet Caitlin Clark, and I was like, well, you better get down there.
I think obviously in high school, a lot of people knew who I was, but then coming here my freshman year, I didn't play in front of fans. So it was so different for me. And then last year, I think everybody really started to notice how fun and exciting our basketball is, and the style of play we play. I think it's kind of taken over since the end of last year and then the beginning of this year. It's cool to see how much people support us, and that's special. I don't think people understand having 13,000 people a night in Carver Hawkeye Arena for a women's basketball game. That's incredible. So I hope we just keep that going, and we're very thankful that we have that.
And I said cousin earlier, I meant niece. That would be a little bit awkward.
No,
yeah, because I'm up there in age. NIL, let's talk a little bit about that. That's a huge topic right now in college sports. We know you're affiliated with Hy-Vee,
yeah,
other places. How how much do you have going on in NIL and how do you juggle it? Is there more off season? Do you try to limit it in season? How do you do it?
Like,
do you have a manager?
You know, obviously, like, I have a lot of people that help me. I think, you know, my parents are really good about that. My mom helps me quite a bit. You know, Hy-Vee, they've been tremendous. And I think the biggest thing with them, Hy-Vee especially, and Nike, both of them, you know, they work with a lot of, they work with a ton of athletes. So it's like, this is not new for them. And maybe some other cases of NIL with other people, like, this is the company's first time ever working with an athlete, but you know, Hy-Vee and Nike especially, like, they really get it. Like, they work with athletes all the time. So it's not too much in season, which is really nice because I'm really focused on basketball. And, you know, obviously not too much free time. You're getting, like, what, one off day a week usually. So it's definitely difficult, a lot more out of season. But, yeah, they're both been tremendous. And obviously NIL has been incredible. Like, it's just been cool to see everybody and what they're doing with it. Obviously it's been crazy. I think, you know, people still don't really have a full grasp of what it all entails. But no, it's been cool. I think a lot of student athletes at the University of Iowa have done really cool things with it, whether it's, you know, donating to the Children's Hospital or, you know, holding camps. Like, it's just those, like, really cool things that you can do to give back to your community, that have been fun to watch.
So, do you, so we talk about this in football a lot, like for example, Kirk Ferentz's stance is to kind of make sure everyone kind of gets the same type of benefits and stuff like that. But obviously, it's, we don't want to get into the weeds here, but that's a little bit unrealistic in a lot of ways when you've got a, you know, Iowa's losing some people in football. What is the dynamic like in the locker room when you are the star, and how do you kind of balance knowing that you're probably getting more opportunities than your teammates, but
you know,
I mean, you are the star.
Yeah, I think it's not something like I talk about all the time, or like, it's not really like how I live my life, and that's never how I live my life. Like, I lived the exact same before when NIL was before, when I was a freshman. So, like, I'm doing the same thing. I'm living the same way. I act the same way. I'm still goofy. But, you know, like, Hy-Vee, like, they'll, like, send over donuts for the team, and, like, everybody goes crazy. Like, chocolate Long Johns are here. Like, and then they all come up to, like, Caitlin, come on. Like, can you please call Hy-Vee again? Like, why aren't the chocolate Long Johns? Though I haven't been here in a while. So, like, honestly, it's good for the whole team because, helping them out too. But it's also been cool to, like, see some of them do their own stuff. Like, a lot of them have their own merch, like Gabby, McKenna, Kate, Mon and McKenna have done stuff like Midwest One Bank. Like, you know, everybody kind of takes it and makes it their own, which is really fun to watch too.
So we got about 4 or 5 minutes left before we got to run, but one topic I wanted to talk to you about is, I've never seen you do an interview on this, is on your Kansas City Chiefs fandom.
Oh, yeah.
We know you're a big, at least on social media.
Yeah,
I'm a Chiefs fan. How big, like, you know, where does that, where did that start? And how big of a fan are you?
Well, I kind of was just born with it because my dad was always a big Chiefs fan. So then, like, my brother was. So then I had to be. But, like, we had, like, a Chiefs vending machine in the basement at home. So, like, we're true fans.
Whoa.
We had those, like, helmets. You know those, like, fake play helmets? We had, like, those Chiefs fake play helmets. Like, we love the Chiefs. And we have family in Kansas City. So, like, we would go down for games when we were younger. But I hadn't been to a game in a while. But we went on Christmas Eve. We were on the field before the game. It was pretty cool.
How did you do that?
How'd
you hook
when
that
we were
up?
In Indianapolis, the combine was going on at the same time. So Brett Veach, the GM of the Chiefs, was in there, and they met our radio people, and they're like, oh, Caitlin Clark, like, we're huge fans of her. So, like, I kind of got connected there, and they, like, hooked me up. I told them, like, the family wants to come to the game on Christmas Eve. They're like, oh, we got you. So that was pretty fun. Like, my brothers and my dad were in, like, seventh heaven. Like, they loved it.
Wow.
I mean, I did too, but
yeah,
it was a little cold for me. It's freezing on Christmas Eve. But the game was awesome. Like, I'm a huge Patrick Mahomes fan. I think he's incredible. Obviously a great person, but great football player too. But, yeah, so, you know, Patrick, like, has DM'd me on Twitter before, like, I'm a big fan of you. Like, I'm going to try to come to a game. Like, I don't know if he's actually going to ever do that, but hey, if he wants to, courtside at Carver.
There you go.
Let's make it happen.
Have you met him?
I've never met him.
I
wish.
Imagine a lot of Chiefs fans out there wishing they would have a DM from Patrick Mahomes.
I know,
that's
right?
Pretty amazing.
I was like, wow. Patrick Mahomes, like, he's the one. He's him. He's awesome.
I mean, he's the NFL what you are to women's basketball.
Oh, I don't know about all that.
What? I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, I don't think there's any. I'm not really making an outlandish statement here. Do you get excited? Like, I know you're in season, but do you get excited, you know, for the playoffs and stuff like that for the Chiefs? And
I
try to make arrangements.
So it was the Chiefs-Bills last year. It was, like, right after one of our games. And I was, like, at the Vine, like, eating food. And it was on TV. I pretty sure I was like running around the vine while I was eating my wings. Like I was so excited. Like it was that insane game. Like unreal. Insane. One of the best of all time. But yeah, I try to watch as much as I can. And actually Molly Davis on our team might be a bigger Chiefs fan than me.
Really?
Oh my gosh. If after a post game, if she's in there, you need to ask her sometime. Like unreal. Like she names her two cats after the Chiefs. Like biggest Chiefs fan on planet Earth, maybe.
That's awesome. What else do you do in your downtime? We got a couple minutes left. Because you got to chill at some point.
Yeah,
right?
I think honestly, like when I'm not here, and I'm here quite a bit every single day, I just like, I don't know, try to get away. I mean, I still will have basketball on the TV quite a bit. But if I don't, like I try to turn it off and get away from it at times. I think that's really healthy. You know, if I'm not, the team honestly hangs out a lot when we're at home too. So, you know, try to cook, you know, my mom.
Why didn't I put that on the list?
My mom brings me a lot of food during the season. Like she'll always bring me some sort of sweet, when they come up to the games and I send my laundry home in return. I know I'm like almost 21 and I still send my laundry home with my parents, but I'm just not going to do it. during the season. So, yeah, more than anything, I just like to chill, relax, kind of have some time to myself because obviously, you know, time moves so fast and you got to enjoy, you know, my time here. And especially during the season, it seems like it flies. I can't even believe it's already January of my, you know, junior year.
Yeah, it's crazy. Do you find yourself enjoying, trying to enjoy every moment, I guess,
absolutely.
You have with this sport?
As like I've kind of gotten older, you really realize like how fast it goes and just trying to soak in every second because, you know, before I know it, I'm going to be gone and not here anymore. And it's kind of sad to think about,
it is.
You know, it's been so fun. And, you know, I know there's so many more fun moments to come too. So, but it's been awesome. And I do try to soak in every single second.
Well, great stuff, Caitlin. Thank you for doing this. This was really nice of you. And
no,
we'll do it again sometime.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Good luck Saturday against the Wolverines. When we come back, we've got the 8-5 Iowa football season to put to bed and then take a look at recent moves that set up the 2023 roster. Andrew Downs will join me next on Hawk Central 106.3 KXNO.
Everything you need to know about the Hawkeyes. It's Hawk Central with the Des Moines Register on 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to Hawk Central Radio here on 106.3 KXNO. I'm your host, Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register. Thank you to Caitlin Clark for a fantastic interview. The Iowa basketball star is a lot of fun to talk to, so is Lisa Bluter's team. And with the men kind of dwindling a little bit here, we'll get to them later. I think it's a good time to get all in with the Iowa women right now. Time to discuss Hawkeye football, though, with Kennington Smith out today. I'm happy to be joined by friend of the program, KXNO, Hawkeye Nation, Hawkeye Nation Instant Reaction Podcast, jack of all trades, fan of the people, man of the people, Andrew Downs. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I thought I listened to your Instant Reaction Podcast, but I was curious kind of, you know, again, we kind of view you as sort of like half media, half fan.
Yes.
And I feel like you wear that badge pretty proudly.
Absolutely.
How did you feel about Iowa's 21-0 win over Kentucky?
Overall, I felt really good about it. And, you know, it's one of those instances where you remember that, okay, these bowl games do actually mean something, and not just to us as fans. And this season feels much different than last season did at the end of it. Now, last season was a better season. You had 10 wins. You played for a Big Ten championship, all of those things. But to just get that final win, and then especially this year, I think the coolest thing that happened in Nashville is just kind of that love fest that happens with the senior class. And that's becoming more and more rare in college football. To have a guy like Jack Campbell play the way he did that day, to have Sam Laporta going out there and, you know, taking snaps and, you know, breaking tackles, guys who don't need to play in this game. This game doesn't really mean anything to them, but it does mean something to them. And that's the cool thing. And I think that's the thing that we pay too little attention to in college sports, but also that we're losing a little bit with transfer portal and opt-outs and things like that. And so the I guess the biggest feeling I had after that game was just that the program is still in a good spot overall, and that, you know, Kirk Ferentz is still the guy to kind of lead this ship moving forward. And then, you know, that this defense is just incredibly fun to watch. You have to kind of recalibrate how you watch football when you watch Iowa, and really all the Big Ten West at this point. because it's much different than we saw in the college football playoff games later that night, you know, where they're putting up 50 points. But you can enjoy watching a shutout, a team shutout, an SEC team. And yeah, an SEC team without a quarterback or a running back and some of those things. But you can watch this defense and these special teams and really kind of get a kick out of it. And so I felt pretty good after that game. I felt a lot better than I think I thought I would have, if that makes sense. I think going into that game, it felt like, well, you know, win or lose, this is what it is. It's all about the off season now and what changes are going to be made and what next season looks like. But then, you know, they kick off and you get those feelings again and you are invested and you do care. And it's the Hawkeyes playing football and they got to win. And so, yeah, I felt really good about it. I'm glad that it seemed like everybody had a good experience down there for the most part. And yeah, I feel pretty good. I guess as good as I can going into the off season now, and kind of anxious about what comes next.
We will get to that in a second. Yeah. But yeah, I do want to kind of follow up with that. Just it was kind of my feeling, my read on like kind of how fans felt and everyone felt is very similar to what you're feeling. I think. It almost, the game, Andrew, I don't think could have really gone much better in terms of how it played out, in terms of heading into the off season, because you mentioned the senior class. And as you talked there, I was just thinking to myself, okay, last year the Hawkeyes got LaPorta coming back was a nice surprise. Yes. Campbell coming back, you kind of thought, but it was like, okay, this is going to be awesome.
Yep.
Riley Moss coming back, surprise. Now Charlie Jones coming back, also a surprise.
It was.
But you know, he ended up leaving, but... You think about those three guys, plus a lot of other just kind of program seniors, like you said. Yeah, this thinking ahead to next year's class, like it's really hard to picture who those guys are going to be.
Yes.
We don't know that. So that was special in that sense. I mean, I'm going to say like Logan Lee, somebody like that. I mean, Cooper DeJean is going to be a special guy next year, and Torrey Taylor too, but these aren't like – they just haven't been in the program. Like,
right.
I mean, Taylor has, but he's a punter. I don't know. It's yes. just going to be different.
It is. Yeah. The leadership that these guys and the connection they obviously have with Kirk Ferentz. And then, you know, as Kirk Ferentz gets older and later into his career, he gets more emotional as a person. But then also everything just has that much more meaning. This win is his 10th bowl win. So he ties Joe Paterno. And, you know, it's like, and he's got a bunch of old players there, you know, at the game and stuff like that. You can see almost everything that happens with Kirk Ferentz at this point is a legacy building thing or a talk on his legacy. And so that's really fun too, especially after a year where it was pretty up and down there for a while.
And you know, the legacy continues.
Yeah.
And now there's off-season decisions to be made on offense. I wrote about it down there. We got a chance to talk to Brian Ferentz for a little while down there. Nothing too revealing about his future, but I do believe that a change is coming. I don't want to promise that.
Right.
I do believe it's going to happen. I think after what you saw in the Music City Bowl, it was almost exactly what you wanted to see. You got to see a win for the Hawkeyes, but you also got to see you didn't want to see him struggle, really, but it was 0 for 11 on third down. Just the same issues. The play call, I mean, third down play calling just not good. A lot of play calling not good. I feel like that's one of his weak spots at offensive coordinator. I think Kirk Ferentz has to realize at this point, and I think he knew that before this game. I think change is going to come. Now we'll see. We'll see. And it may not come from Kirk. It may come from Brian leaving. It may come from Gary Barta. Barta did not rule that out down there. I think there are three layers of how this can happen. I think the least likely is that Kirk actually fires his son.
Right.
I think that's not going to happen. But I think you come out of that game to me. I mean, if there's not a change in offensive coordinator at this point, that would be a big misread, I think. Because last year they gave it the try.
Yes.
He said, well, I'm betting on us. It didn't work on offense. And now, if you're really going to bet on that again, I mean, that's really going to be a tough sell.
It's hard to justify. And I think you laid that out exactly right. And that's how I felt after that game was it played out exactly how you hoped it would as an Iowa fan who wants to see a change, because you got the win where you never really questioned whether or not they were going to win. You saw some good things out of Joey Labus and some, you know, potential there, but not enough to say, Because I think that first drive, they came out, and it was like, oh my gosh, okay, and maybe Brian Ferentz is the guy. And then it obviously kind of all fell apart, and they reverted back to what we had seen all season. And so you're right. I think on that side of the ball, it's like, well, now you can't really justify doubling down again. I don't know how you could do that and not lose the fan base. And really just Kirk Ferentz is a smart guy. He saw this offense. He understands that a change needs to be made. And my kind of mantra all season, and I'll go to it again here, is, you know, take a breath and let this play out, because this isn't going to happen quickly. Yes, we're not in season anymore, but Kirk's going to do his evaluations. As you said, I think it's likely they're going to try to find another spot for Brian, whether that's in the program or somewhere else. And if it is somewhere else, like an NFL team, you have a few weeks to wait before NFL teams are starting to revamp their coaching staffs. And so I don't expect anything to happen really quickly on that front, but I do expect something to happen. And then defensively, to see some of those younger guys kind of step up.
Yeah.
How fun was it to see Xavier Wampa have not just the pick six, which was fantastic, but the game that he had. He looks like he's ready to play, a guy that we were all so excited about. And I think Perfect. After Caden Proctor decommitted, there was probably some worry, I know there was for me, of how solid is Xavier Wampa here? And I don't know him, and who knows, anything could happen. But after that game, it looks like he's got a really solid spot on a really good defense, and I don't know why you'd leave that. Obviously Cooper DeJean, the defensive line, I mean, there's a lot to be excited about coming back next year.
You're listening to Hawks Central from the Des Moines Register and KXNO. I'm Chad Lysticos talking with Andrew Downs, and we are obviously talking Hawkeye football, Andrew. The quarterback situation, I think, clarified. Down in Nashville, got some time with Spencer Petras, and some stuff came up there we'll get into. And then Carson May this week goes into the transfer portal, joining Alex Padilla. May was a true freshman, never played, gets a chance to go somewhere else. My guess is, and I don't know this 100%, is they're having their offseason meetings. It's like, do I have a future here? I mean, count the spots.
Yes.
And it's like, maybe you can go play. Maybe you can go play at a big school, but maybe just go play at a lower level school and, enjoy football for 4 years.
Yes.
I wrote this and I feel this way. I feel like the quarterback room is absolutely how you want it, as long as Joey Labus stays. Joe Labus. I think he will. I think it would be foolish for him to leave at this point. Not like he showed up like, hey, I'm ready to start for even like Purdue or Illinois. Like, he's not at that point.
No.
But he's a perfect backup right now, and he can grow. And now this spring, you've got Cade McNamara and Joe Labus, and that's it. Whoever the new offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach is, probably, you get their full attention. And the way Iowa does things is typically anyway is the one and the two get the reps. Marco Linez here in June, so he's going to be the scout team guy, start learning the system. And then another guy's going to be here the whole time, Spencer Petras, rehabbing that rotator cuff shoulder. I'm happy to kind of clarify those who don't understand. If you have any questions about it, feel free. But his plan is to return to the roster. So he will be on the roster. You'll see his name on the roster, as far as he said. So he's going to use that sixth year in that sense. He may be on scholarship. He may not. You shouldn't care out there if he is or not. He probably deserves to be on scholarship.
Yes.
Deserves to get that stipend because he's basically going to be a player coach while he's going through rehab, giving back to the program. He's probably going to be here in the fall, probably on the roster. I don't know if he'll be in uniform or not, but his plan is to basically, it's an 11-month recovery, basically, so he's not going to play. Now, outside chance, if he could throw, maybe he, things are really going bad in the quarterback's room, you're down to your last thing, maybe he's ready to play a late-season game, things are crumbling, I don't know. But he never intends to play for the Hawkeyes again. He kind of said that on the side.
Okay.
And so,
because I think that got a little I think the way you laid it out was right, but I think some fans just knee-jerk saw Spencer Petras will return and thought, uh-oh, here we go again. They have a chance to make a change, and they're not doing it. They're bringing him back. He's going to take a roster spot. But I also think at this point, hopefully all Hawkeye fans respect the leadership abilities of Spencer Petras, the place he has in that program, the relationship he has with the other players and the coaching staff, and understand that that's a valuable position for him to be in, regardless of if he ever sees the field again.
And he wants to be a coach someday. So this is a perfect opportunity to get to do that on, you know, where he's with, you know, a familiar program, familiar coach. He can kind of, you know, learn from, you know, coaches, whoever's coaching.
It's a good situation. Cade McNamara is probably going to need some help coming into this system, right? I mean, he's, and who knows what the system will look like going into next year, but he's a good quarterback with a good track record that we're all excited about. But, he's going to need some help stepping into this after he rehabs his injury, whenever he's ready to go and getting up to speed, and to have another guy there who he can relate to, who can help him do that, I think is a positive.
Yeah. And so anyway, Spencer's goal is to, he doesn't know if he'll ever be able to throw again like he could, because it's that serious of an injury. So I think let's have a little empathy with our comments. He's a great Hawkeye, a great guy. Golden Gavel winner, just an outstanding person, a great leader. You want him. If he's one of the 85 scholarships, that's great news for the Hawkeyes in terms of just his leadership right there.
Yeah,
heck,
I agree.
Maybe he could, I don't know. Captain's probably a stretch.
I was thinking that too. Yeah. You may not, you may want him to be starting quarterback, but I was thinking that too. He's probably that type of a guy.
Yeah. Couple more things on the football front, Andrew. Seth Anderson, wide receiver from Charleston Southern. This is now three offensive skill position transfer portal additions. I know there have been losses, of course. He looks good, man. He was at 42 catches for Charleston Southern, 7 touchdowns, 600-plus yards. Son of Flipper Anderson. Hey, add bodies.
Absolutely.
And add good bodies.
Yes.
He seems like he's a good player.
Yeah, who knows? It'll be interesting to see him kind of make that transition to this level. But at this point, if you're Iowa, you take whatever you can get at the wide receiver spot, and you hope for the best. And you just give Cade McNamara as many weapons as he possibly can.
And then I wanted to ask you this. We know Torrey Taylor's coming back. We know Lucas Van Ness is not.
Yes.
He is going to go pro. Never started a game at Iowa. Kind of
wild.
An interesting situation. But he ended up playing a ton of snaps. It's just, Wagoner and Evans got the starts, senior guys. You know, Logan Lee and Noah Shannon hardly ever hurt. But I was just going to ask you, if before you knew this information, if you could have chosen one or the other of those two true juniors, classification-wise, Van Ness or Taylor, which one of those two would you want back the most if you could only keep one for next year?
You know, be
honest here.
Yeah, it's that we may be the only fan base in the country that would pick the punter, but I would absolutely pick Torrey Taylor. And not nothing against Lucas Van Ness, who it seemed like up until just a few weeks ago didn't even realize he was on draft boards. That's got to be such a cool situation for him. But Iowa has more depth at that position, and I feel better about the development of the defensive line and the recruitment there. Not that Iowa can't recruit another good punter, but you got one of the best punters in the country right now, and a guy who really likes being there, a program guy, a personality guy who's been there for a few years now and has a great connection with Cooper DeJean. I mean, the two of them, the way that Taylor can punt it and DeJean can down it is just fantastic. To get to watch that again next year is fun. Iowa may be the only program in the country where you can legitimately say this, but yes, I think getting the punter back is bigger than losing one of your best defensive linemen.
It's true. I mean, he was remarkable, and I mean, he's basically like getting an NFL punter coming back to your team, and that's so important to this program. And what would you have done if he had left? I have no idea what the punting situation would be.
That's a problem. And then, I mean, he's been the MVP of several big wins for the Hawkeyes over the last couple of years, just in the way he flips the field.
Absolutely. It's funny to say. We ran out of time for our 2023 roster projection, but lots of time to talk about 2023.
Yes.
In the 8 months to come. All right, we talked women's hoops with Caitlin Clark. We talked Iowa football. Coming up next, we're going to talk Iowa men's hoops, the departure of Patrick McCaffrey. With Andrew Downs on Hawk Central, 106.3 KXNO.
Everything you need to know about the Hawkeyes. It's Hawk Central with the Des Moines Register on 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to Hawk Central Radio here on 106.3 KXNO. I'm your host, Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register. No Kennington Smith tonight, so joined tonight by KXNO's Andrew Downs. If you missed our conversation with Caitlin Clark earlier, please download the podcast at Hawk Central, KXNO, Apple, wherever you get your podcast. Tons going on in Iowa basketball right now, Andrew Downs. Tuesday's late afternoon news definitely is the top headline, outweighs kind of the slide this team is having. Patrick McCaffrey, the son of the head coach, stepping away from the program due to anxiety issues. The outpouring of support he's gotten locally, nationally, really, I would say 99% amazing comments. There's always a few jerks out there, but he was very open in his statement. What stood out to you about, you know, the Patrick McCaffrey situation? Now Iowa will be out without him for an indefinite period of time. Basketball obviously secondary at this moment, but what did you take away from his statement and this whole situation?
Yeah, I think what I took away from his statement is the specificity of it and the kind of detail that he went into. And he didn't go into a whole lot of detail. It's a fairly short statement, but it wasn't a vague, hey, I'm dealing with some issues, I'm stepping away. He talked about how it's affecting his life and how that's affecting, you know, his sleep and his appetite, and then how that affects his energy levels and his ability to prepare and to play the way he wants to, and you know, maybe gives you an idea of why Iowa has struggled and he struggled a little bit in these last few games. And I think that's so important. I mean, the stigma around anxiety and mental health is going away, I think. And as you said, I was honestly surprised at how overwhelmingly positive the reaction to this was, and not just on a kind of, you know, level of you need to be positive so that you don't get backlash. I think people really do appreciate that that Patrick is willing to be open and honest about this and vulnerable about it. It's this is a hard thing to talk about, and I know people who deal with this a lot and are afraid to talk about it. And, you know, it's also one of those things where it's not always a logical thing. And so I've seen people say, well, you know, he's got a lot going on with basketball and school, and all of that is true, but that's not necessarily what he's talking about, right? It's not necessarily like these tangible issues that we all can see. It's mental health, and it's a thing that is really hard to kind of put your finger on, but when it's not going well, it can affect everything. And that's obviously what's happening with Patrick. And so I'm glad that he has the bravery to come out and talk about it and to put himself in this position rather than just try to fight through it and put his head down and make things worse. But then also has the support of obviously his father and his brother, but his entire teammate and his entire family. I thought overall it's been a really, you know, you don't want to say a good situation because it's not a good situation. You hope the best for him. And we'll talk about the, you know, on court part of it, I'm sure. But I think it's, I've been very pleased to see the reaction to it for the most part, which has been, hey, go get yourself better. Proud of you for, you know, being brave enough to say this. And you know, we'll welcome you with open arms when you come back.
Yeah, Patrick has been, from a media perspective over the last 3 or 4 years, and at Iowa City West, I know a lot of like Rob Howe and some other reporters have dealt with him even longer, covering him in high school. Just an unbelievably pleasant guy, unbelievably positive guy. Inclusive, funny, team builder, guy you want to be around. He's just talks. He's always got something to say, and he's awesome. Like, such a joy, such a breath of fresh air. And then just this season, just his looking back on it now,
right.
I can see he wasn't the same at the podium. He was kind of like almost scowling at times, even after wins, and not in a. That's nothing against him, but you could something was he yes. was being bothered, and he said in the statement he's dealt with it for a long time, and now it is peaking.
Yeah.
So it has now come to the point where he can't juggle both, and you have to give him a ton of respect for. I don't know if I could do that.
No,
I don't know if I could walk away from Big Ten basketball, a chance to play on ESPN, Fox Sports, Big Ten Network, a chance to play Big Ten basketball, and walk away for to make yourself better, and he's going to do that. So kudos to him. We will see how long it takes. We don't know.
Yeah, when he said maybe two games, maybe 4 games, maybe longer,
maybe longer.
Less. You never know. I mean, he may wake up and feel great in a couple of days and be ready to go.
Yeah, I would expect at least this week.
Yeah.
Who knows? We can't put a timetable on it. And if we're, I almost would feel, I don't know, we'll see, guilty asking Fran.
Yes.
You know, like, you know, because it's his son. It's also a weird situation. They're going to handle it professionally. But we saw when Patrick had health issues before, this basketball team went downhill in 2014. That was a little different. That was cancer. This is anxiety. These are not related. However, it has to affect the head coach, does it not? There's no way it cannot.
That's his son.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so even if it was just one of his players, you would feel like it would affect him. This absolutely has to affect him more. And then, and Patrick made a point to point out this has nothing to do with his cancer or anything like that. It's not about that. But I would imagine, I've never had a kid with cancer, but I would imagine that for the rest of his life, his parents are going to be a little more worried about him. And anytime something, whether it be physical or mental or anytime anything health-wise comes up with him, it's going to be a little bit more – it's going to weigh on them a little bit more. I think that's a natural thing. And, yeah, I think Fran McCaffrey, for whatever you want to say about him, I think one thing you can't say is he's a fantastic father. I mean, you can see that. He's a family man. His kids love him. His wife loves him. Like, he is a very good husband and father. And, of course, this is going to affect him more than it would – anybody else.
A couple minutes left in Hawks Central. We should talk about the basketball side of this. Obviously, you lose a guy that's averaging nearly 13 points, who has been a catalyst for you at times, 24 points against Wisconsin. He's had some great games. Now, he's 5 for 30 in the last 30 games, and I think that's part. I think it's just compounding for him.
Yes.
So he will not obviously be playing. I would expect Connor McCaffrey, his brother, probably steps into that starting role. And in his last couple minutes here, Andrew, I think Peyton Sanford's got to get going.
Yes.
I mean, that's the one guy that kind of can replace his body type, his shooting,
yes,
his rebounding. He could do it. He has the ability. We've seen it before. All that big picture said, as quickly as you can sum it up, 0-3 in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
You've got three pretty bad losses in a row here. A little life at Penn State in the second half, but Indiana, the preseason Big Ten Conference favorite Thursday night, at Rutgers, which just beat Purdue on Sunday, which you can't ever win there hardly anyway unless you hit the side of the backboard with Joe Wieskamp.
Right.
What are you feeling about Iowa basketball right now?
Not feeling great. Yeah, no, and so different than I felt just 2 weeks ago. You know, coming off that Iowa State win, even with the Wisconsin loss, you felt like, okay, there was an overtime loss. You know, it's not that big of a deal. How poorly they played in the second half against Eastern Illinois, the entire game against Nebraska, the first half against Penn State. The fact that they even had the ability to get that low really worries you in a Big Ten season where it's night in, night out, every team you play. And these are some of the kind of lower teams in the Big Ten that Iowa has lost to. And so, you really start to worry here. And you look at the schedule and you're looking at, Indiana, Rutgers. If you lose those, that's 0-5. And that's a hole that you just almost can't dig out of. And then, that Eastern Illinois loss is so bad with the metrics that now you've put yourself behind the eight ball already. It's really unfortunate that this has happened, because in the first few weeks of the season, it felt like even when they lost, it was like, okay, this is still going to be okay. They're going to be good. They're going to get back to the tournament, maybe make a run. Maybe this is the team that gets into a Sweet 16.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like that anymore. It's all kind of falling apart. Who knows? They could come out and play the way they did in the second half against Penn State and the first half against Iowa State and shock some people and maybe go on a run. We've seen last year they won 8 of their last 9 or 10 games.
I think 12 of 14.
Was that? Yeah, 12 of 14.
Including
the
tournament,
right. Yes, and so, they could do something like that again. But you do need guys like Peyton Sanford to start stepping up. You need Tony Perkins to be a little more consistent. You need those young guards to kind of come along a little quicker. It's a lot to ask for a team that doesn't play great defense and then all of a sudden has found trouble finding offense.
We got to run. Thanks, Andrew Downs. Thanks, Caitlin Clark, for carrying tonight's show. Without Kennington Smith, we will be back with you next week on Hawk Central here on 106.3 KXNO. Good night, everyone.